Hey everybody, it's Francis here, and it's the day that everybody's come to realize that the great sporting icon and legend Muhammad Ali has passed on, and lots of dedications and inserts in the various papers reviewing his history and past. At the same time, a lot of here in the UK articles about Brexit, the referendum on whether to leave or to remain in the EU. I just got to thinking a little bit about these two issues. On the surface, they seem entirely unrelated, with nothing to do to each other. One is a sporting icon that came to be, to a degree, a civil rights symbol and symbol of pride. Black pride in that sense, but pride generally as well, across transcending just the race. And the other one is other half of the GMT line, the sort of other side of the Atlantic Ocean, the pond as they say, and is about a referendum on an economic situation. So what could they possibly have to do with each other? Well, what many people forget about Muhammad Ali, and this is what made him great in my eyes, is that apart from being an incredibly dedicated sportsman, he was incredibly talented, particularly in his earlier days. He came back after a long layoff, and that layoff was caused by his refusal to go to the Vietnam War. He refused point blank. What many people forget, that as America celebrates him and what an icon he was, etc., etc., rah, 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 what a difficult time Muhammad Ali was given. He was un-American, he wasn't a patriot, he was a draft dodger, he's a shame to society. He was stripped of his belts, which was his income. He had his income taken away. Remember, he was heavyweight champion and a number of titles holder, who stripped entirely of his income and thrown into the wilderness because of a moral stance that he took. And during that period, there was incredibly racist commentary and publishing through the mainstream media. They tried to get him to do IQ tests, highly culturally biased IQ tests, and try to show how, inverted commas, stupid he was, and that, you know, there's no great loss to not being in the army and all of that nonsense, where in fact he showed incredible wisdom, incredible insight. He wrote poetry, gave us some of the best rhymes and sporting smack talk that we've ever heard, that everybody else is imitating to this day. But anyway, they went out of their way to turn him into a pariah in his own country. He was known for throwing his Olympic medal away after being turned out of eating in a restaurant on a whites-only basis. And therefore, he didn't consider himself a citizen of that America at that time at all. And this all went on, and this was at, the Vietnam War was at the height of Henry Kissinger doctrine, the war is peace doctrine, always at war, the capitalistic, you know, the synthesis and antithesis games that get played. In other words, you create two alternating forces and you keep smashing them together, and that way you keep justifying military expenditure, which lives today with all forms of wars on terror, etc. But Vietnam was the war on communism, if you want, before they even had the term the war on. In fact, anything they have the war on, you know it's going to be indefinitely ongoing and never reach a conclusion, and in many instances they tell you the war on terror, the war on drugs, mainly because interests control both those industries. Anyway, going back to Muhammad Ali and the Kissinger doctrine, Kissinger's still very powerful today, and I'm sure he's behind the scenes and responsible for getting Trump as the pantomime villain so they can make Clinton president, and I'm pretty sure that'll play out, as I've said all along, but still very powerful today. But the doctrine that he brought as the first lieutenant to David Rockefeller, lives today. And these guys reviled him. They reviled Muhammad Ali. They reviled him. They needed people to show up and be soldiers. They were afraid that if more people questioned the morality of sending the black man, mainly, and working class whites, it has to be said as well, to the yellow land to kill the red man, as they sometimes paraphrased it, actually didn't stand up to moral scrutiny. And in fact, Muhammad Ali pointed out, I'm not even a citizen in my own country. Why should I be going fighting those wars and wanting to kill other men? It was just a simple, direct logic with a clear-cut conscience and moral stance. And it was the right stance for what turned into one of the biggest debacles of the late 60s into the early 70s. And actually was proven totally wise, prudent, and more important, a man of principle. Unlike the elites, and I want to use that phrase, the elites and the people behind the doctrine. And if you think this was exceptional, I must tell you that it wasn't. Martin Luther King, the CIA, and the system kept files on him. This was during obviously the Black Consciousness Movement and getting equal rights, etc., etc. And they tried to paint him in unfriendly ways, even though he didn't even advocate violence, which, unlike Nelson Mandela, he had to in the end resort to a military wing. Martin Luther King had never even got that far. Yet he was killed, and a civil case was won that the US government and Central Intelligence Services were accountable for it. It's a very unpublicized fact. Go Google that. The King family have won a civil case regarding the death of Martin Luther King. And there were files that were found accusing him of hanging out with, you know, white prostitutes. They knew it would be a very inflammatory thing in deep South America. You know, the whole interracial taboo that they'd created. Whether this is true or not is immaterial. It's all about the fact that he was about civil rights, and that cause was clearly the correct cause and the predominant cause. Once again, like Muhammad Ali, it is the correct way, and it's the truth that we found ourselves in today. After being resisted, manipulated by the then elite at great cost, great attempts to damage reputation. And in fact, they often just lead to enhancing that reputation because they get characterized as controversial. In fact, the Independent on Muhammad Ali described his controversial career. So this is even after we know that Vietnam was a corrupt war, an ideology clash that was a failed notion and an attempt to suppress other nations from making or having an ideology of their own choosing. Even after all that, we know that at the end they lost and it was a debacle. And in the same way with King, the civil rights movement won the day. Morality and justice eventually won out. But at great cost in terms of how the elites went to great lengths to undermine, and in many cases, as you saw with the King example, he paid with his life. And there's simple other examples like Malcolm X and Kennedy, all people that have resisted wars, resisted the elites and their agenda. It's never served you particularly well personally, even though it is, for society, the greatest and boldest thing you can do. And I'll repeat that again. Resisting the larger agenda of the Kissinger Doctrine, the Rockefeller and 13 families control structures, and the direction that they are taking us is the boldest thing you can do for your fellow man. Muhammad Ali did that, and so did Martin Luther King, and so did Kennedy. If we're talking in an American context, because we're talking about an American sportsman here, there are others in other parts of the world. Mandela is another case of example. The apartheid government was tolerated to quite a large degree by Thatcher and Reagan because of its anti-communist stance. And the morality of the position of apartheid was just a little bit of an inconvenience, but we'd rather have him on side. So politics won the day, not morality or correctness of action. And only much later did the heat get turned up after a long sustained anti-apartheid movement. So where does this tie in with Brexit, you're wondering? Well, whether you're reading a motorcycle magazine, whether you're reading newspapers, The Guardian, The Independent, whether you're listening to the polls, everybody's telling you that the Remain camp is ahead and that you should be voting Remain and that voting Brexit is Looney Tunes. A motorcycle magazine even telling us you won't be able to ride your bikes in Europe anymore. You'll have to queue for visas and all sorts of complete and utter nonsense. Europe will be utterly aware that they would need UK tourism more than ever if they were to lose the absolute fortune that Britain is sending over, 350 million a week. By the way, it's also been observed that if the Remain camp wins the election, which many will keep insisting is favourite, and that's how they manipulate the polls, how do you know whether you're being told the truth on that? I don't. Maybe they want to discourage the Brexit voters from voting. It's a classic poll technique to discourage the power of anti-system vote, to declare the other side as in the lead. And then close to election day, they talk about a late, even further swing to the Remain camp, to almost create despair in those that will vote Brexit, so that you don't even bother because Remain will win anyway. In other words, they want to encourage helplessness in you, while at the same time maintaining an illusion that you voted for this. And that's the tactic they'll say. You know, there'll be a late swing in favour of Remain. Watch it as we lead up. That's my prediction. Anyway, going back to all these multiple commentators saying that we must remain, the elite want you in Europe. The CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency of America, paid and funded for Britain to be in the original common market. If you have any doubts about that fact, go check the Freedom of Information document and Google it, and you will find it is not largely publicized. It's not wanted to be largely publicized, but people do not understand the extent that the larger intelligence agencies, the permanent government that sits behind, and the Bilderberg groups and all of these other entities, these multitude of entities that sit behind the rotational junior middle management governments such as Cameron and Obama, have had us on a course for many, many years in this direction. So when you vote Remain, you vote pro-system. You will be further integrated into Europe. We've had our veto removed, given away by Cameron in the beginning of this year. You can expect TTIP, the trade deal, to be forced through in some form or another. And we have been warned that after Remain, you can be put on notice that Britain's contribution will be needed to be made higher because of the cost of the current immigration that is occurring as we bomb the daylights out of Syria and the multitudes are spilling into Germany. So the notion is Britain is not doing enough, and once this election is out the way, you will see the new enlarged bill coming our way. So that 350 million will get bigger. So you are voting to continue to approve the bombing of Syria, Libya, and Yemen. And at the same time, the fallout of that bombing exercise that will lead to immigrants coming into all of Europe, that we will be obliged to make a much larger contribution towards that. And hey, I've got nothing against immigration. This is not a vote about immigration at all. It's a vote against anti-war, anti-system, anti-elite. If you want to submit to the control agenda that is coming our way, vote Remain. And you will pay more, you will take more immigrants that are essentially poor, unskilled labour that have been bombed out of their homes, which is tragic and traumatic for them, and I have huge empathy for that which they've gone through, and you will be voting Remain. Now, ask yourself, what would Muhammad Ali have done? What would Malcolm X have done? What would Martin Luther King have done? Voted for the system, the elite, the controlling structure that's resisted every major moral correct stance from apartheid to black consciousness movements to forced conscription to go to war on the other side of the planet? Or would you have voted along with Mandela, Muhammad Ali, Martin Luther King? in doing what's morally right. Don't be co-opted. Don't be co-opted into believing the fear that all financial Armageddon is going to break loose because you cease to have a government transfer of 350 million, soon to become substantially larger and soon to require further stress on our infrastructure to help these poor people that have been absolutely bombed out of their homes. We need to throw a few cogs in this slow, grinding, chundering machine that is a multi-decade, multi-century plan towards a larger, great global socialist scheme. If you work in an SME, a small, medium enterprise, I'm disgusted to find the number of people that want to vote Remain. The legislation, 80% of our laws come from Brussels. The legislation is designed for corporates. It keeps a corporate elite protected and the drawbridge gets pulled up because they have salaried admin clerks to deal with all this HR and bureaucracy. And the nimble, dynamic, small, medium enterprises are absolutely destroyed for having to comply. And 30% of an entrepreneur's time now has to fall towards tax, filing, admin, HR, compliance, and every single health and safety regulation. And that's not to say there isn't some value in some of it, but it is absolutely absurd. And I mentioned the angle of a banana consultant that rejects a large part of African produce from getting into this country because it's non-compliant to an EU regulation. Things are more costly because of these people. If we were out of the euro, your German cars would cost less. They centrally negotiated with the UK and they rip us off as a relatively wealthy nation. We are the second largest contributor and our voice is a fraction of what Germany is. Germany literally is dictating the agenda, and as the second largest, we have been vetoed on 79 different cases. 79 different cases that have been put forward by the British government have been vetoed and have stalled. We are no bloc allies. Nobody votes with us. We are isolated when we put forward a measure, and the continent think differently. They act differently and they need our money and very little else. That's why we are treated like the testy teenager with a bad attitude, and largely dismissed when it comes to making the larger decisions. And France and Germany march on. So you need to consider all these facts. You need to think like Muhammad Ali. Have you got the backbone to say, I don't go along with this? I don't go along with the morality of the system here. The war is peace doctrine. America bombing Syria, Libya, Saudi being given aircraft F-16s and sold F-16s to bomb Jordan and Yemen. All of these disgusting continual turmoil, death, and this huge creation of an immigration mass that is moving a culture that's very, very different, that wants to stay at home and be happy and live in its homes but can't because an entire conflict is being forced across the whole region that sees people unaccustomed to European lifestyle and conditions being forced across in desperate droves, sinking in boats, all because of the conflict created by the Kissinger doctrine that is strong and living today. And you need to think, if you want to vote for that, is that what you want? If you're a small business owner, is that what you want? And the people that tell you you can't travel to Europe afterwards, don't be bonkers. We're not part of any trade deal with South America. You think you can't get a ticket and fly to Brazil, Chile, Peru, Asia, anywhere else? Do you think they aren't wanting your money? Do you think as an English passport and people that will always return home to what is essentially a high-income country, you are a risk if you go visit Greece and that they aren't going to open you with open arms? Don't be fooled. Don't be cajoled. Don't be made to fear. The pound will rally regardless of the outcome. It's the uncertainty that's knocked it, not the risk of exit. It's the uncertainty. It's the risk of Remain that will destroy it in the long run, however. And that is what is coming. Deutsche Bank is set up to fail. It's making was down a further 2%. You need to follow my other posts if you elect to regarding that. But that is the biggest bank in Europe, effectively, with $73 trillion in derivatives. Do you want to be married to the sinking ship? Our trade with Europe is dropping. They don't buy much from us anymore, and it's dropping. We are net buyers of their content and product and services, despite a massive services industry. They need our expenditure urgently. And guess what? If they don't give us bilaterals and trade agreements that are better than what we had before, we can buy our produce without the EU regulations. We can buy all the bent bananas from Africa. We can buy direct from Japan, China, and Africa, and Asia, and South America, and the rest of the Commonwealth, right down to Australia and New Zealand. We need to globalize, and we need to be spending more and building ties with part of the world that is not drowning in the way the Eurozone is. The Euro is a political currency, not a fundamentally sound economic currency. It is in the process of a massive failure. It's failed two or three times, from 1.5, look at it, against the Swiss franc, and again when the peg fell. This is something that's in terminal decline, and you don't have to be married to this. You can be part of it, you can holiday there, it'll get cheaper as this happens, and they'll be delighted to get your expenditure. So that's my thoughts. That's my thoughts on Muhammad Ali. Decide whether you're people of character and whether you're bold, or whether you submit to the fear, whether you're the flock that are going to read the daily newspapers and let them drip, drip torture you with doubt and fill your head with fears about your property price, your reduction in salary, and all the economic crash that will visit us. We are going to have an economic crash, unfortunately, everybody, regardless of this. And the question is, how close do you want to stand to the fire and be at the center of it? And I would look to buy as much time as possible and stay away from the burning ship. You can either choose to be dropped on the deck of the Titanic by a helicopter in the 2.5 hour window that it's taking to sink, or you could be one of the ones jumping in the lifeboat, the last lifeboat that wasn't seen, and getting out of Dodge as the ship goes down. That's Francis Hunt. That's my take on a great icon dying, how he thinks, his sense of morality, his sense of character that he was chastised for and had to put up with humiliation, and how his long-run moral stance showed to have the true wisdom, and in the end, the truth wins out. So either make your short-term expedient decision, or make the long-term brave, bold, and moral decision. And that's your call when it comes to that election in a couple of weeks' time. So with that, I look forward to you. Leave comments, please, and share and subscribe. And that's it from me.